There's a lot at stake in the confirmation battle over Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He's facing an accusation of sexual assault, which he has denied, but his opponents say the position is too important to rush the nomination through without getting to the bottom of it. One reason these fights are so consequential is because the justices serve lifetime appointments, and our next guest says that's part of a problem. Gabe Roth is executive director of the advocacy group Fix the Court. They're calling for term limits for Supreme Court justices, and they work on modernizing the federal court system. Gabe, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, make the basic case. What's wrong with life appointments for Supreme Court justices?
Sure. The justices now are serving longer than ever before. They're more powerful than ever before, not what our founders intended in terms of having unelected, unaccountable judges making these sweeping pronouncements for our country, for individuals across the country on issues like life and death, who wins our elections, who can vote, who can marry, healthcare, environment, etc. So in order to restore constitutional balance, to make them the Article III branch, and third most important once again, reducing their tenure from 20, 30, sometimes 35 years to a standard 18 years would restore constitutional balance, and it would also yield predictability and lower the temperature of the nomination fights, as you mentioned in the open.
Now, the basic case, I guess, for a lifetime appointment was, okay, once you're on the court, you don't have to worry about political pressure from outside forces. Nobody is renewing your job. You don't have to worry about the next gig after you get off the Supreme Court.
Sure.
It's a life job. You are free of political influence. Isn't that something worth preserving?
It is, but I think if you look at the justices who've recently retired, even Justice Kennedy gave a talk has been giving talks since he retired to different legal groups. You have Justice Souter, who retired a few years ago, I think in 2009, and sometimes he sits on a lower court up in New England. Justice O'Connor, who retired in 2005, she has sat on lower courts out in Arizona, and she's also started a civics group. John Paul Stevens has testified before Congress and written books. So former justices, I think, do have a role to play as sort of senior statesmen within our democracy, but there's no reason that any of the individuals I mentioned or any of the individuals currently sitting on the court should be able to hold on to their power that makes our federal judiciary look more like feudalism than a modern democracy.
You mentioned the term limit idea. You have a more fleshed out plan. People can see that on your website, but talk to us about how you see this working.
Sure. So you would add, America would add a justice every 2 years, and the nomination would come up in the summer of odd numbered years. So when the court is out of session, they take 3 months off during the summer, and odd numbered years are the years in which there is no congressional election. So what you would have is some sort of predictability, so you're not waiting to see, based on actuarial tables and justices' illnesses or who happens to win the presidency. There's not this gamesmanship going on, and you know that every odd-numbered summer there's going to be another justice added, and then they'll rotate off after 18 years.
How do we get from—so this, first of all, would take a constitutional amendment. It's a
Maybe.
Tall order. Oh, that's right. There is another way. Let's start there with how this could
sure.
be
so,
put in place.
Sure. So, legal scholars are split on whether or not this would take a constitutional amendment. Obviously, it could happen with a constitutional amendment. I prefer a legislative fix where the term that the judges, both superior and inferior, shall hold their offices during good behavior, as it says in the Constitution. So offices, from my view, means the office of federal judge. So you are a federal judge for life. However, only 18 years of which would you be able to sit on the Supreme Court. And then what Congress would do is they would just pass a law that you'd add a new justice every year. So eventually you'd get to 9 justices, 18 years. But for the first 15 or 20 years of this plan, you may have an odd year here or there with 10 or 11 justices. So that's the legislative way to do it, a lot easier than I think a constitutional amendment-based fix.
Now, one concern people bring up is, as you mentioned, that justice might try to time their retirement to, go with a president who's going to replace them with somebody of their philosophy.
Might. I mean, it's happening.
Right. That's how it tends to work. So if I'm a justice, I've got this 18-year term, couldn't I duck out year 15 and create the same problem?
That's possible. I mean, so the law that I've proposed with legal scholars across the board is the justice who has most recently retired would then be pulled back into service. So in the case of, just to use the Antonin Scalia example, so if Scalia passes away and the Republicans don't want to confirm Merrick Garland during that, I don't remember what it was, something like 400-day period where there was where there was only eight justices, there would actually be a ninth justice, and that would be the justice who most recently retired would have the opportunity to be pulled back into service, which I think would have been John Paul Stevens, and he's still kicking in fully there at 97. So he would have had the ability to become the ninth justice based on some policy maneuvering and votes and whatnot and legislative language. But you wouldn't have a situation where, okay, to your point, if a justice leaves after 15 years, you wouldn't have this even number of justices until 3 years hence.
And your plan sees a role for the former justices, not just, as I understand it, as the backups if a Supreme Court justice should retire or die before their term ended. You see them being involved in other ways in the federal court.
Sure. I think the biggest example is if there is a case that needs to be decided in a certain finite amount of time. I mean, think about Bush v. Gore 2 or, I don't know, Pence v. Booker or whatever it would be. That where you need a definitive answer, then, and then there are only eight justices. Imagine, Kavanaugh doesn't get confirmed, and you have eight justices for a while. If we were in a situation where there was this one generational case that needed to be decided, then a recently retired justice could be pulled back into service. So there are certain scenarios where you would need to have an odd number of justices to get to a five. Well, hopefully a 9-0 decision, right? You want the justices to be unified, but given this hyper-partisan time, it's unlikely. So yeah, there would be some cases where retired justice would be pulled back into service.
Talking to Gabe Roth from the group Fix the Court, he and his organization and legal scholars working with them are calling for a different way of setting up our Supreme Court with limited terms, 18-year terms for each justice. Gabe, either way we got from here to there, constitutional amendment or the legislative plan you outlined would require really huge bipartisan cooperation on this issue. Do you think there's enough desire for this in the United States to make that happen?
I think there is. I mean, I think if you just look at the grassroots level, there are groups. I mean, my group's nonpartisan, but I work with groups on the left and the right that support this fix. The two most influential legal groups on the left and the right, the Federalist Society on the right and American Constitution Society on the left, the ideas that I'm working with came from a lot of the top scholars in those groups. I think, one of the challenges of this is if you were like 5 years ago when I did polling or 4 years ago when Obama was in office, there were way more Republicans who wanted term limits than Democrats. Now it's the opposite. So when you ask Americans writ large, what do you think about term limits? A lot of times they're thinking about their own presidents nominating and their own senators giving advice and consent. But overall, if you take the larger picture, this is something that is a popular policy proposal across the board. And the longer we go without it, the larger a chance that a justice with mental decline, a la William Douglas, who stayed on the court for 9 years after 9 months after he had a debilitating stroke, that becomes more and more likely. So if there was sort of a constitutional crisis and a justice who was infirm, I think there could be a confluence of events that could lead to this and very quickly, given the popularity of this policy with the American people, I think both parties could come together and say, look, Congress needs to reestablish its Article I role and we need to rein in the power of the justices.
One case I've heard from some people is that we have kind of an absurd system now where there's an incentive for a president to find not just the right ideological justice, but the youngest possible. And then, as you were talking about earlier, the incentive for justices to stay, they might be 80 something and not want to retire based on who might replace them. Does your plan kind of help fix that at both ends?
I think so. I mean, there are folks on Trump's shortlist. He came out with this list of there's been several iterations of it, but I think we're up to 25 people on his shortlist now. I think there's a guy on there who's like 37 or 38, and that's a couple years older than me. And I can tell you right now, I'm in no way ready to be a Supreme Court justice. So yeah, I think the idea that you have the baby justices or the baby justice in waiting, potentially rising to that level. I mean, Clarence Thomas was only 43 when he was nominated. I think, you know, there are plenty of jurists in America, you know, even, you know, someone like Wisconsin's Diane Sykes, who has been talked about as a potential, she's on the short list, but I read an article today saying, oh, you know, if Kavanaugh withdraws, she's too old to be considered, which to me is crazy. I mean, I just was able to watch her preside over a case now that the Seventh Circuit, you know, the regional appeals court that comprises Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana, they now have video, thanks, I think, to a lot of my lobbying efforts, which is another one of our prongs. But, you know, she's doing fine. Like, she could absolutely serve for 18 years. And the fact that because she's 60, she's considered too old and she's very well respected in conservative circles. I mean, I think that's ridiculous.
In presidential elections in particular, to a lesser extent, Senate elections, the appointment power of a Supreme Court justice and confirmation power seems like it's gotten bigger and bigger over the years, maybe leading people to decide their vote for a candidate they wouldn't even like just for that one reason. Does the term limit idea, you think, take some of that heat off?
That I'm not sure about. You know, I've thought about that, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of different things at play when you think about who to vote for president. I think, you know, exit polls show that Republicans were more motivated to vote for Trump versus Democrats and Hillary because of the Supreme Court issue. You know, I think that maybe now with the Kavanaugh nomination and all the issues surrounding that, I think maybe, you know, there's a little bit more parity between the parties. But, you know, almost every president, at least in my lifetime, has had several Supreme Court justices to nominate. I mean, it's Jimmy Carter is the last president not to nominate anyone. And so I think people sort of get it now, and that's all part of it. But, you know, the idea that this is more predictable, theoretically, at least I believe, would reduce the temperature of each nomination, knowing that we're going to be doing this every couple of years and you know, spending all this political capital on one specific, you know, on the Kennedy seat, as it's been called, for example, like that shouldn't happen, you know, once we're used to doing this sort of thing every couple of years. I mean, the biggest issue, you know, one of the things that prompted this is we had this 11-year period recently where there were no nominations between Breyer in 94 and Roberts in 2005. There were no new justices added. So when Roberts came around, it was a much bigger deal than it should have been. I mean, granted, you know, Chief Justice Rehnquist died around the time he was nominated, so that also added to it. But and the whole Harriet Myers debacle. But, you know, overall, having something more frequently, I think the populace would get more used to this and would lower the temperature of each individual nomination.
Briefly, as we wrap up, is this going to happen, you think, in your lifetime?
I'm young and I eat well, so I exercise a lot. So you know, I think so. I mean, I think it's only a matter of time. This is something that the grassroots on the left and the right is really excited about. I think term limits brings more transparency. We know more about our justices if we have, you know, more frequent nominations, and it's an opportunity to engage civically, and I think that's something the younger generation is going to like. And the idea of you know, serving this futile amount of time is just not something that that makes sense anymore, and not something that I think our founders would have wanted. So, yeah, I think it's an idea whose time has come.
We'll leave it there. Gabe, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Gabe Roth with the nonpartisan advocacy group Fix the Courts, with us to talk about the idea of term limits for Supreme Court justices.